You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back on this Monday. Jim Donovan along with Jason Gibbs today. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm out of the lineup today, getting some time off as they get ready for the busy time of the year, which is just a couple of weeks ago, weeks away as we get set for training camp. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you out here in Berea. Jason, what do you think about the new aspect the Browns are reintroducing this year of traveling a little bit to go up against another team? We're going back up to St. John Fisher College in Rochester, and they'll practice against the Bills a couple of times. And then the next couple of days after that, they play the Bills in a preseason game. What do you think about that?
We are going to get our fair share of the Buffalo Bills. You know, it looks like, you know, a practice against each other on Monday, scrimmage mm-hmm. on Tuesday, then the travel day for everybody right. on Wednesday, and then Thursday the game. I mean, not only that, but, you know, the brown and orange scrimmage going to be in Columbus at Ohio State. Right. I yeah. mean, it's a lot of travel for the preseason, but I think it's good to go up against someone else because you get bored.
Yeah.
And you got to see where your team is at.
Now, they used to do that. They used to play against the Bills. Do you remember that? They used to go they went over to Pennsylvania one time and played them over there. And then they went up to St. John Fisher, and then they had a morning scrimmage one time against Buffalo down at the stadium, down at First Energy Stadium, and it was a Saturday morning, and they had a flash crowd, and they had over 40,000 that day at the game. It was amazing what they had that day. You know, they were just – people were streaming in. It was a picture-perfect day. It was like a 10 o'clock in the morning game, and everybody went down there. They had the same idea, and it was a fabulous thing. Now, you're right. You get to see how you really look on the field when you're doing it against another team, even in practice. Visually, when they played those games against the Bills or had practice sessions against the Bills, at that time, in the growth of the Browns, you could see that they were miles away from being competitive. I mean, they were exposed sure. in these practices at the time. Now, I remember another time, Butch Davis in his first year, still thinking that he was the University of Miami Hurricanes head coach and had 145 guys on the team and 8 guys at every position. He had a full contact scrimmage out here in Berea, in the practice field in Berea. He said, yeah, we're going to have a full contact inter-squad scrimmage. And they carried 6 Browns players off on stretchers that day. I mean, it was unbelievable. And Butch just did not have a grasp at that time that you don't have 7 tailbacks like you did at the University of Miami. You have 2, or you may have 3, okay? But you don't have more than that. You can't afford that to have happen, you know, in these, you know, high-level, high-intensity type of situations. But obviously it's something Mike Pettine wanted to do, and I think it's a good idea. I really do. I think they will get a very good glimpse of where they are. Not just in the game, obviously, but even more so in practice, that they can deal with something.
Well, and you and I have seen it. We've all seen it as members of the media. You know, training camp isn't what it used to be.
No, that's
it's,
right.
It's glorified.
Yeah.
It's a 2.5 hours. You know, there's a lot of water breaks. There's, you know, it's not the grind.
Yeah.
It's not two-a-days. So you really don't get a good idea of what your team can do until you get into the preseason. And then in the preseason, no one's showing you anything.
Someone messaged me that, yeah, don't forget Terrell, when we were talking about Terrell Pryor, don't forget how he could stride. And he's perfect. He's visually, he's exactly right with that.
Oh,
I have not seen anyone run like Terrell Pryor in the open since I watched American Pharoah a couple of weeks ago win the Triple Crown. Terrell Pryor could separate from people. He really is quite
an
athlete.
So where do you put him? Do you put him at tight end or do you put him at wide receiver?
I think initially at wide receiver. I mean, I think tight end is going to be – I mean, that's a whole different kettle of fish there. I mean, you're going to really have to block. I mean, and you know the other thing, Jason, if he's going to make the team or if he's going to make an impact, he's going to have to do it on special teams. I mean, that's how Cribbs did it, right? I mean,
yep.
you know, Josh came in here, quarterback out of Kent State. Yeah, we knew he could run. Yeah, we knew he could throw a halfback option. We didn't know if he could be a wide receiver, but we also, the first thing that hit us right smack in the nose was this guy would lay anyone out on a kickoff return, and he would run by everybody when he had the football in his hand. So Terrell's going to have to do that, too. Let's go back to the telephones. Jim is in Rocky River. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. I just wanted to go back to Manziel a little bit, and I got a kind of like a, you know, different way that everybody else is looking at him.
Good. I welcome. I want to hear that.
Don't most of the NFL players come from college? And that would be probably a yes.
Yes.
And so I don't think they grow taller once they get in the NFL.
No, they don't.
I don't think they got 5'9" defensive linemen that Manziel was towering over. So it's funny how he can run these numbers up in college. There's no issue about him seeing over the line in college.
All right, but can I just add, let me interject something, though. You would have to admit, defenses in the NFL are bigger, faster, stronger, and I know that's cliche-ish because we say that, than in college.
Yeah, but they're not taller.
Yeah, but I think his game is – yeah, you're right. I mean, they're not taller. They are what they – you're right. They are what they are. They have hit their growth plates at that point in their career. But
I think you got to use them and use his talents best, which is rolling them out. Everybody's talking about, well, look at the season he had last year. He played in barely five quarters. Nobody brings up about the Buffalo drive. And then you talk about him now, and he's like, well, he can't see over the line. He lobs the ball. He's got terrible mechanics. I mean, it's like he should be maybe washing cars at a car wash now. I think you got to give him the whole year. You've got Hartline. You've got, you know, you got Duke Johnson. Maybe Pryor can develop into a long-range receiver. But you got to give him a whole year,
mm-hmm.
the whole season.
Right.
And that's what you need to do.
Now, let me ask you another question. Would you admit he's got to give us a whole year, too?
Oh, absolutely.
Of his time, of his dedication.
I would be his biggest critic.
Okay.
If he gets the opportunity and doesn't perform. And I'm an advocate of his.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't perform, you got to go, Johnny.
Go, Johnny, go, right? Go, Johnny. All right, now tell me this. Did he go? Oh,
yeah.
I wanted to hear his visualization of a Browns win. I'm thinking maybe that he's got Johnny rolling out and throwing one right down the middle to win the ball game right there. Let's go to Mike. He's on a cell. Hi, Mike.
What's going on, Jim? How you doing, man?
I am doing good. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, I just moved back to town, and I haven't heard your voice in a long time, and I was listening when the show came on, and I was so glad to hear your voice. I mean, it's been years. It immediately put me into Browns mode and got me excited, so I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, where did you come back in town from?
Well, I was in Florida for a while. I lived in Vegas for a little while, so it's been years. But
okay, well, welcome back.
I'm able to watch him. Thank you.
Good.
So I want to talk about the team really quick, maybe what a win will look like.
Yeah.
You know, when you have as good of an offensive line as we will have,
right?
You know, they were probably, before Matt got hurt last year, they were probably the best in the NFL.
I would agree. I'm with you.
If they stay healthy, you don't need to have a high-octane Pro Bowl quarterback and guys that can catch the ball 60 yards down the field in order to score points. But you can run the football
mm-hmm.
as good as we're going to be able to. And I love Isaiah Crowell. I think Duke Johnson will really make an impact. It opens everything else up. You know, Josh McCown is a very capable quarterback. He played horrible last year because they couldn't protect him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any quarterback will be successful if they can't protect them. I think if you look at the unit between the offensive line, the defensive backfield, which is also one of the best in the NFL, we were decimated on the defensive line last year also. I love bringing Randy Starks in. I think we are a better football team than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we stay healthy, all right, and we get average to above average quarterback play, I think the units that we have and the overall talent that we have will make this a winning football team. I mean, if you take away the quarterback position and you look at every other team in the NFL, now I understand the quarterback position is the most important position on the field.
Right.
But if you take that away, I mean, how many teams can say they have more talented units than we do? The defensive line is deep. I love Randy Starks coming in. The linebackers are all back. You know, I really think they have a lot of talent on this football team, and I'm excited.
Good. Well, I'm excited listening to you. Thanks, Mike. You've brightened our Monday up. Absolutely. Jason, I'm picking up that a lot of people are very excited to see Duke Johnson play in the Browns backfield. Now, we've had a number of callers on the line, and everybody has mentioned Duke Johnson.
And I would rightfully so.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I watched him. For some reason, I watched him a lot in college. And I saw him play a lot for Miami. And there were a lot of times where I thought he was 95% of their offense because he needed to be. Okay, they didn't have great quarterbacks, you know, at that time when he was there. And I thought he was terrific. So I was very excited when he was still on the board and they went and they got him. And I think he's going to be a very, very exciting player. But to hear him talk about, hey, I don't deserve really to be called the all-time leading rusher in the University of Miami history, even though the numbers say that he is, I mean, that is refreshing, isn't it? I mean, he's not coming out there and saying, oh, yeah, I'm the best. I should have gone in the first round.
Yeah, he's very down-to-earth, very grounded. It was interesting. The weekend he got, you know, the rookie mini camp, he was out there, and I could tell he was frustrated. You could see his frustration. Mm-hmm. Because he was so much farther ahead than anybody else at rookie minicamp.
Really?
And you could just see, you know, he's going through the drill and he's like, I can only go at the speed that everybody else is going at, but I can go a whole lot faster. I'm already into this playbook. I already know what, you know, not I'm better than you and I know everything. Just let's go. I know what I need to do here. And I thought it was interesting with Mike Pettin last week. Someone said, who's the one guy you want to see in pads? And he wanted to speak up, but he clarified and stopped himself and said, I'm just looking forward to seeing all of our guys.
Yeah.
But he's mentioned it over the course since the rookies and since the draft, how great Duke Johnson looks and how much he – you know, what he wonders what he can do in pads. And I think that's the biggest thing. If that guy can play as well in pads as he did in OTAs and minicamp,
right,
we're going to have a pretty special player.
He was a very high recruit when he went to the University of Miami.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was up in the booth when Bernie was doing the TV preseason games with me. And, of course, Bernie, forever a Hurricane and forever a Brown, but forever a Hurricane, and very close to the program, tipped me off to him before his first game because Miami was playing one of those early games in the year. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. You got to watch Miami, not for the quarterbacks, not for the defense, but you got to watch this kid, Duke Johnson, because he is really special. And so I started watching them off of his advice and you know, recommendation, and he was terrific. I mean, he really was good. Now, don't sleep on him that he's just a guy that's going to catch the ball, because he can run it too. I mean, he can really
run it.
The question is, can the other two catch the ball? You know, because they'll be tested.
Can they hold on to the ball?
Crowell and West, because this kid can do it, but he can really run the ball too. He's not just going to be a Sproles kind of back that's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. He'll do that. He'll do it really well. He really will. Out of the backfield, out of a slot, he'll do that really well. And plus, remember, they're going to give him a whack at returning too, and he's very good at that. But he can run the ball. He can take a handoff and be a real problem. He was Miami's offense.
He really did do it. I think that was his reason why he couldn't be named as one of the top five running backs in Miami history, he said. Because he didn't win anything.
Right.
He goes, as a team, we didn't win anything.
No, they didn't. That's
so
true.
He goes, that's why I can't be one of those top five running
Well, they
backs.
Were in another, weren't they? They were under NCAA investigation.
Yeah.
Al Golden came in there, and they were changing things, and he's terrific. He is exciting. But obviously, you out there, you're excited to see him too. Keep the calls coming. We're going to take a break. That's the end of our first hour, and it flew here on the Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim Donovan, Jason Gibbs, happy to be with you on this Monday, and we'll be back after this time up.